started, you can start recording. Today, I'm continuing the series that I've been doing on faith, and really, I just feel like the Lord's been just establishing foundations of faith, and it's something because Cecil Paxton was at Caris Friday night and Saturday, and it was amazing. We weren't able to go Saturday, obviously, we were in Charlotte, but Friday night, so much of the stuff that he was teaching was stuff that the Lord has been showing me, and I'm going to be teaching a lot of it, especially next Sunday, and some of it today, some of the same similar stuff that he was teaching. But I love it when you just see God teaching a common thing, like, and he keeps confirming that that's where you're supposed to be. Like, okay, so right now we've been kind of camping on faith, right? And that, and he just confirms that, yeah, that's where we're all camping for right now. And I love it when he kind of confirms that with other speakers and things like that. So just to talk about what the past two times I've been talking, I talked 2 weeks ago about sense knowledge versus revelation knowledge, and how at the fall, you know, Adam and Eve kind of lost their spiritual sight, and now all of a sudden they're seeing themselves according to, you know, now they know that they're naked, and it was kind of like a blinding actually that came in at the fall. And so ever since then, we've lived by sense knowledge. When you're born into this world, and everything is through the five senses. And so that your five senses kind of become your educator, right? They become the ones who teach you, you know, don't touch this, do this. And so you begin to really trust your five senses because you believe that's what's keeping you alive is your five senses, right? But we were born to live by revelation knowledge, and that's what the Word of God is. And so it's not something that we can necessarily see with our natural eyes, hear with our natural ears, touch with our natural touch, but yet this is the reality that actually authored all of this. I mean, not the fallen condition, obviously, but it's what authored creation. And without the Word of God, we don't know the purpose of man. We don't know why sin exists. We don't know why death came in. You know, I was talking to Dina, you know, the other day. I went out with her, and she was talking about, you know, just dealing with Henry passing away and sadness. And I said, I think part of the reason why it's so hard for us to deal with death is we were never meant to die. Right? We were never meant to die. Death was never supposed to be a part of our life. And so death is a difficult thing for us. I mean, we know we have eternal life and we live forever, but I'm just saying the passing of someone is difficult because we weren't meant to deal with that. And so we now, because of the Word of God, we can understand why there's death in the world, why there's sin in the world, why there's disease, because those were never things that God created, but they came in as a result of the fall. So it's real important that we unbelief is believing in the sense realm as opposed to believing in revelation knowledge. So I was comparing sense knowledge with revelation knowledge. And then last week, I talked about the foundations of our faith being in really understanding the nature and character of God. We have to know, and his ability, we have to know that he's a good God, that he's for us. And if we don't know those things, it undermines our faith. We have to know he is good, he is for us, he loves us, and he's our greatest cheerleader. And so when we're trying to walk in the faith of the revelation knowledge that we've been given, we need to know the person that's undergirding that is for us. And if we don't know that he's for us, then it will undermine everything. So today I wanted to talk about what are the promises of God, because next week I'm going to talk about kind of how we begin to walk in them. But what are the promises of God that we have? I was looking it up, and I was reading a book by Kenneth Hagin that had some things in it, and he claimed like there was like 30,000 promises. I went on Google, and you see everything from 3,000 promises are in the Bible to over 30,000 promises are in the Bible. And I wasn't going to count to confirm either number, but even if there's only 3,000, it's still a lot. So I wanted to just start off talking about, we talked last week about the Hebrew children, because in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, and we talked a little bit about that, it talked about the fact that they couldn't enter the promised land because of their unbelief. And so the promised land is a picture of heaven for us. But if we go back to the beginning where Moses was raised up, right, and he was raised up in the palace, But, and we read this last week about how he was so convicted about his heritage as for the Hebrew people that he was willing to let go of all that he would have inherited as Pharaoh's son, all the riches of that kingdom. He was willing to let that go to be able to because he saw Christ. But that's an unseen realm that he was seeing. But he, Christ is the Messiah. So he believed so strongly in the Messiah of the Hebrew people that he was willing to let go of all the riches he was entitled to in as being raised as a son of Pharaoh, even though he wasn't naturally his son. He was raised as a son of Pharaoh. And then realize this, Moses is a picture of Christ, right? Because he was raised up in the kingdom, the world, and yet he really wasn't of the world, right? He was a Hebrew. And so he's a picture of Christ, but Moses was willing to let go of that entire inheritance so that he could take his Hebrew people and bring them out of captivity. Now, so that's a picture of us as well. That's a picture of us that we're giving up the world for a kingdom that's unseen. So he spiritually, he was seeing the Messiah. And spiritually, he was willing to give up all that inheritance in the world to be able to lead his people out of Egypt. And of course, this is a picture of Christ leading us out of the world. Of course, he comes over the Red Sea, and that's a picture of our baptism, right, through the Red Sea. And then we go into the wilderness. And if we look at the wilderness, they were going to a promised land. Now, the promised land, a lot of people talk about as being heaven, which of course it is, but it also is for us here today, that we can have the promised land here. God, we're not just saved so we can go to heaven one day. We're saved to bring the kingdom of God here to earth. Or, well, God, Jesus brought it here, but we're here to extend the kingdom here on earth, right? So we can walk in, because we're in the kingdom now. I'm going to talk about that. But if you just, so the wilderness is kind of, for us, is kind of the places where we're learning how to take hold of our inheritance that is already guaranteed us in the promised land. So we're in the promised land, but we're also in a wilderness in areas that we haven't completely conquered what the world has taught us, right? So, but how were the Hebrew children sustained walking through the wilderness? Well, they were sustained, first of all, by manna. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So manna is a picture of the Bible. It's a picture of the Word of God. And so the Hebrew children were sustained by the manna. Remember, they had no other food except when they complained and got quail kind of up to their elbows, right? Other than that, they just, for 40 years, they lived on this little kind of wafer that provided everything that they needed. Right. So that's a picture of us walking in being sustained by the Word of God. The next thing is the water they received was from a rock. And Paul revealed that rock was Christ. So they were living by manna, which is the Word of God, and they were living by water from the rock, which is, to me, is the intimate presence of the Lord, Him sustaining us, right? Because that rock was Christ, and so that's the water. Again, this is a picture of us as we're walking in our journey. They had the cloud by day and the pillar by night. What is that a picture of? That's a picture of the Holy Spirit presence with us, guiding us and leading us. And the cloud would stop in a certain place, and they would stay there. And then when it moved, you know, a month later, a week later, whatever, they would move on. That's a picture of our journey with the Lord as well, right? There's places where He has you kind of camp for a while, and then you all of a sudden you know that it's time to move on, whether it's in your studies. Maybe He has you, like I talked about a year and a half, He had me in Romans 6, so that's kind of where the cloud had just settled in my word. And so for a year and a half, I studied Romans 6, right? So it's being able to be sensitive to the presence of God. Whether in the day it's a cloud, at night it's a pillar of fire, right? So whether you're in day or night, He will always guide you, right? He'll always lead you. That's the Spirit of God. They had the tabernacle, right? God set up the tabernacle. That was a picture of not having a sin consciousness. While they were going through the wilderness, because God had set up a system for them to be able to do sacrifices to cleanse them of a consciousness of sin. That's a picture of us walking through the wilderness. We're not supposed to have a sin consciousness, right? So God had provided that. And then, of course, the Ark of the Covenant, which is a picture of the presence of God. But where's the Ark of the Covenant now? it's inside of us, right? So we have the Ark of the Covenant. So all of these were pictures. They're all types and shadows of our own journey coming into the Promised Land. And the Promised Land geographically is you know, Israel, but spiritually it's the kingdom of God, right? And so, and Abraham was promised that. Now, we talked last week about the story of Joshua and Caleb, where the 12 spies went into the Promised Land, and they came back, and 10 of them said, listen, there's no way we can inherit that land. Why? Because they were going off of sense knowledge. They were looking at, wow, we're grasshoppers in their sight because these are giants. So they're looking according to sense knowledge, not revelation knowledge. And the other thing is, even though God had done miracle after miracle after miracle, sustaining them in the wilderness, they never let the works of God change their hearts about his character, right? So even though they had seen his miracles, they still didn't trust him. And for all of us, I think can testify that there's times in our lives where we haven't let what God's done for us really assure our hearts of his goodness. And that's what happened. But Caleb and Joshua knew the character of God, and they weren't going according to sense knowledge, they were going according to revelation knowledge, and they were like, we are well able to inherit that land. And so, all of us have been part of the 10 spies, right? We've all had situations in our life where we're like, yeah, there is no way. But God's calling us to be the Joshuas and Calebs, right? Because there's areas in our lives where we have taken victory. So I'm just saying that to say there's no condemnation. We all kind of have, when you first come into the kingdom, you're kind of like, really? Right? You don't understand. But the process of renewing our mind, we're going to talk about that next week, the process of getting ourselves convinced to be able to walk in and really take all that God has promised us. And that's a journey through the wilderness. And God's well able to get us through that. So our faith journey is really a journey from the moment you get born again and you get baptized, you come across that river, right? You're baptized to the fullness of the kingdom of God within you. That is our journey in the Lord. And a lot of times, we don't realize that's what we signed up for. Right? We don't realize it. It's like Alicia shared with us. I said, we don't realize that we're in a war. And Alicia said, the Lord spoke to her and said, you were born into it. You're born into a war. And there's an enemy who does not want you to inherit the Promised Land, right? And, if you remember, when God told Joshua, when they went into the Promised Land, they were to kill everybody in there. And the Promised Land is a picture of the strongholds in our mind that keep us from inheriting the promises. And so we are to, there's no captives. Like he wants it all done away with. And when Joshua and the Hebrews did not kill all that were in the Promised Land, they lost their victory. So it's really a picture of us not allowing anything not allowing that to contradict what God has taught. And standing on that word, right? So I want to start off, and Peggy's back there on the scriptures today, and I've got a lot of scriptures, so I apologize ahead of time. But we're going to do Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So what is every spiritual blessing? These are the promises that God promised us. And so what I want to really do today is talk about what are our promises. And so some of this is going to be repetition, but to me, this is so foundational for us to understand, to be able to walk in where we're going. Okay, so he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So what are the promises? We're going to start off with the first one is Psalm 103:12. And one of the things that God promised is that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And if we go to Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now this, okay, you know, all of you could say this to me, I know, but this is so foundational for us to understand, because you need to know that we have been completely forgiven of all sins. Because let me tell you, a sin consciousness will totally undermine your ability to inherit anything in the kingdom of God. So the very first thing that we need to know is that there is no longer any condemnation to those who are in Christ. All sins, past, present, and future, have been completely taken care of and remedied on the cross. And so many of us sitting in this room, me included, can say, oh, I know that, but do you really know it? Do you really know it? In other words, throughout your day, are you living with a consciousness that is completely free of falling short in any area? Because Jesus absolutely took all sin on the cross. He never, ever reminds you of your past. And I'm talking about 5 minutes ago past, and 5 years ago, and 10 years ago, and 30 years ago. Like, he never, ever brings up your past to you. Because of where we're going, because he took care when you bring up a sin, he doesn't even remember it.
Right.
He's removed it all, and he took it. It's gone. So one of the very listen, we're trying to talk about inheriting promises. If you can't inherit this promise, you can't move forward. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 36, and we'll start Ezekiel 36, 23, verse 23. It says, Ezekiel 36, 23, "And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst." Now, he's talking to the Hebrews, and he's saying, listen, you guys, you're supposed to be representing me in the world, and you haven't been doing a very good job, and so your behavior, your activity, the way you're living has actually profaned my name. And certainly, we can talk about Christians. I mean, I think that the Christians have done a good job of that as well. But he says, I will sanctify my great name, which you have profaned, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. When I'm hallowed in you before their eyes, like the world is going to see, oh my gosh, God lives in there. Oh my gosh, God lives in there. Next verse. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Now, in the natural, he's talking about taking the Hebrews that were dispersed and bringing them into Israel. But in the supernatural, right, in the spiritual realm, he's talking about taking people out of the kingdom of darkness and bringing them into the kingdom of light. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. We did not petition heaven for this. God did this. And he promised to fallen mankind, and I know we all know about the new creation, but let me tell you, this is a promise God gave to mankind, that he was going to make them completely new. He was going to put his spirit in them, he was going to give them a new heart and make them into totally new creations, and by doing that, we will fulfill his laws and statutes and judgments, not because we're trying in our own ways, but because he lives inside of us, and we yield to that presence. And all of a sudden, we are living as the godly creations we were created to be. Amen? He said, then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. This is what he promised to Abraham. He told Abraham, I'm giving you a land. What was it Israel? Yeah, geographically it was Israel, but it was also a spiritual land he was giving to Abraham. The kingdom of God. Right? I will deliver you from all your uncleannesses. So there's a process. He delivers us from all uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. In other words, he's going to provide as well. God promised this to us. He promised this. He promised this. He was the one who said, listen, you're a mess. You're a train wreck. But I'm going to completely remake you and bring you into it as a new creation. If we go to John 3:16, thank you, Jesus. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then if we go to 1 John 2:25, 1 John 2:25, it says, and this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. Now that word eternal doesn't mean, and I know a lot of you know this, but I want to go back over it again. Eternal life doesn't mean living forever. Everybody's going to live forever. It's just going to be where you're going to live, right? But what eternal life is talking about is Zoe life. And I want to read this to you because it's so important for us to understand this. This is how God fulfilled Ezekiel 36. Zoe life means life in the absolute sense. It's life as God has it, which the Father has in himself, and which he gave to the incarnate Son to have in himself, and which the Son manifested in the world. This is what Jesus manifested in the world, was Zoe life. From this life, man has become alienated in consequence of the fall. And of this life, men become partakers through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who became its author to all such as trust in him, and who is therefore said to be the life of the believer, because the life that he gives, he maintains. Eternal life is the present, actual possession of the believer because of his relationship with Christ, and that it will one day extend its domain to the sphere of the body is assured by the resurrection of Christ. This life is not merely a principle of power and mobility, however, for it has moral associations which are inseparable from it, holiness and righteousness. So this is what God promised. This is the promise that he has promised us, Zoe life. This is the fulfillment of Ezekiel 36. I'm going to put a new heart inside of you. I'm going to put a new spirit inside of you. I'm going to make you into a new creation. And this is where we get, if we go to 2 Corinthians 5:17, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, this is a promise that God gave us. And we can explain that, but we need to understand that this is the foundation of everything that we receive in the kingdom. Everything we receive, every promise that you try to stand on, if this isn't the foundation of it, it'll crumble. It'll absolutely crumble. If you're just somebody, you know, trying to get God to heal you, but you don't understand who you are now and why you have what you have, it'll all fall to pieces. This has to be the foundation of this is how he gave us everything. This is how he did it. He made us into new creations. If we go to 2 Corinthians 5:21, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we are his children. We are his children. And we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We have free access to God all the time. And if that was a promise, that was a promise that he fulfilled in Christ. And if that isn't the foundation of all that we're trying to inherit as we're going from the wilderness into the promised land, if we don't understand all of that, then it'll undermine our faith. for the things that we're believing God for. So we must, again, we can explain the new creation, but are we living the reality of it? Do we wake up every morning knowing that we're completely new creations, we're completely one with God, God is well pleased with us. The minute we open his eyes, he's there to greet us for the day and to just support us and love us. Like that, that's the reality we all get to wake up into every morning if we're living in as new creation beings. If we go to John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So we were outside of the kingdom. If we look at Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 6, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, says that Jesus raised us up together and made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then my last one for a little bit is Colossians 1:13. Colossians 1:13. This is so good. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So not only are you a completely new creation, you live in a completely different kingdom. A completely different kingdom. And as I was studying this verse, it says that this word, the darkness here, he's delivered us from the power of darkness. It's so amazing. This word darkness means moral, spiritual, and intellectual darkness. It comes from the word skia, S-K-I-A, which means a shadow caused by interception of light. A shadow caused by interception of light. Man, that tells me what happened in the fall. You know what I'm saying? That there's this shadow that came over Adam and Eve, and it's an interception of light. And all of a sudden, the light of revelation knowledge that was everywhere, the word was true, and they were living in the truth of the word. They were living in the word that was spoken by God, and that's the reality. And they ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then this darkness, this interception of light came over them, and now they're walking by sense knowledge. Right? But what does Jesus do? He delivered us from the power of darkness. He rips that up, and all of a sudden we have eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to understand the truth of God's word, the revelation knowledge of who God is and who we are as a result, because that has been taken away from us now, and we can see truth. Then this is what Jesus did for us. He delivered us from the power of that deception into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Wow. And so now we're open to be able to receive this. You know, I'm thinking about in Hebrews chapter 11, it's so important for us to see that it talks about all the Old Testament saints, right? This is what these people were willing to die for. What we live in today, there are people like Moses saw this day, right? Abraham saw this day. Joshua saw this day. All these people in the Old Testament, when you go through Hebrews 11 about all the great fathers and mothers of faith who just stood, who were persecuted, who were sawn in two, who died for this gospel. Because they saw that there was coming a day when there was going to be a kingdom established on this earth filled with light, and there were going to be children of light, that God was going to restore his creation back to being children of God like they were created to be. That's what they were, willing to die for that. Amen. And we take it so for granted. We don't understand that what we're living in, other people, I mean, they could only dream of. They can only dream of, and yet we have been completely made new creations. And this is the fact. Other people died, they couldn't have access to it. Now we're living in this revelation knowledge. We've been given this all freely by Christ. This is the foundation of the faith. The fact that you're no longer no sin consciousness, we're righteousness conscious, we're a completely new creation, and we live in a new kingdom. Like, that's the bottom line, because that's why you're healthy. That's why you have provision. That because you don't live in the kingdom of senses that is filled with lack and lying and deception and all that. That's not the kingdom you're in anymore. And God provides everything to us because of the fact that we are new creations. And that's what we stand on when we're inheriting promises. He's already given them to us, but when we're seeing them pulled in and actually manifest in our lives, the foundation for it is what Jesus Christ did at the cross. Yeah. And who we are and whose we are now. If that isn't established, you can't hold on to it. I'm sorry, you just can't hold on to it. Because then you're just some person who maybe God doesn't even like trying to walk in healing. Like, that just doesn't work, because you don't know his character, his nature, and who he's created you to be, and why you have healing. Because there's no sickness in the kingdom of darkness. I mean, in the kingdom of light. There's no sickness in the kingdom of light. So let's look at authority. In Colossians, well, we just talked about Colossians 1:13. He delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So we are no longer under the power of darkness, okay? And in Colossians 2:15, and we've talked about this before, Jesus disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He triumphed over disease. He triumphed over sickness. He triumphed over everything that the enemy tries to do, sin, destruction. He triumphed over all of that. And that's what we stand on, is what he did for us. That's how we inherit. If he gave us authority in Luke 10:19, after the cross, he says, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 15. Mark 16:15. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He promised us this. These are promises that we can stand on because of his nature, because of his character, and because of who he created us to be. And this is for every person in here. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, then this scripture is for you. You can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It doesn't say they might recover, it may be recover. It says they shall recover. That's God's promise, because he wanted to see us walk as the new creation children of God that we were always created to be, and he wanted us to finalize kicking the devil's butt. That's what he wanted us, and he gets all the glory because we didn't do any of it. These are the promises of God. And we access these by believing. I'll talk more about that next week. I've touched on this already, but healing, we'll look at, we'll just go to 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. It says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." This is a quote from Isaiah chapter 53. And again, every one of us can sit here and say, "Oh, I know that scripture." But are we walking in it? Because this is a promise. You know, Giselle and I were talking about this before, and she was saying how the Lord, you don't mind if I share, Giselle, what the Lord showed you about a parent. About if you're a parent or anyone who's cared for any kind of a child and you saw the child be sick, how many times have we seen them sick and we're just like, "Man, I would take that sickness," right? I would take that sickness. This is what the Lord showed Giselle. It's like, it's the same heart that would say to the child, man, I wish I could take that sickness instead of you having to bear it. It's the same father heart of God. Like, we need to understand his love for us. He never intended you for one moment of your life to walk in any kind of sickness or disease. That was never his will, ever. His will always was that we walk in health and wholeness. And I mean, because of the enemy came in and we were in the kingdom of darkness, the enemy took hold, and that's how sickness and disease came in. But the heart of our Father, the nature and character of him, is that we walk in total health and wholeness at all times. That's a promise he gave. He took care of that at the cross. It was completely paid for. He took all of it. There's nothing that we should be bearing because he bore it all for us. And if we're bearing it, it means that we're not, that we're keeping something that he took. Right? He took it completely. He wants us to walk in total perfect health every moment of every day. Provision, Philippians chapter 4:19, Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all of your need, not some of your need, but all of your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And in 2 Peter 1:3, it says, his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life, that word there is Zoe life, and godliness. You know, we don't have to go to the scripture, but Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things. And what was he, in the context of what he was talking about, if you look at the previous scriptures, he's talking about food, drink, and clothing. All these things shall be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God. We're in the kingdom of God. We're done seeking, and we have his righteousness. So we've met the first qualification of that scripture, and all these things, food, drink, clothing, every single need that we have has been provided for by Christ Jesus, by our Father. But do we believe it? But do we believe it? Because if we believe it, then we don't have any anxiety or any fear, right? Let's talk about freedom from fear. 2 Corinthians 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. If we're allowing fear to dominate our lives in any place, we're not walking in his promise. We're not walking in his promise. Where our mind needs to be renewed because he's promised us and he's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. That's what we have now as new creations. He talks about that love in Romans 8:38. Paul says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. We should be the most secure people on the planet. We should be the most secure people on the planet because we know the living God and we know we are loved by the living God. And we know that we know where our destination is when we leave this planet. We can live in the most secure way because of God's love for us. It says, and we can go to 1 Corinthians 2:16. 1 Corinthians 2:16. It said, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. If we have the mind of Christ, then torment should not be a part of our lives. We should be walking in peace that passes all understanding. Because he promised that. These are all things he promised. When we're talking about walking in the promises of God, this is what walking in the promises of God looks like. Being a completely new creation. Having the mind of Christ. Walking in peace. Walking free of fear. Walking knowing provided for. This is the Sabbath rest that Jesus provided for us. That it's no longer by our works, but we can rest in what Jesus has already done. That we are in the promised land and we can rest in him. Philippians 4:6-7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And then Galatians 5:22 says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." It doesn't anywhere in there say that we're depressed. It doesn't anywhere say that we're stressed. It doesn't say there any way that we have emotional torment. It says that we have the fruit of the Spirit, which is peace and joy and love and gentleness and self-control. And nowhere in there does it say we're undisciplined and unruly and we can't get things together. This is what he's given to us. You know, he did all the work. He did all the work. You know, if you struggle with depression, he took depression and he gave you peace and joy. He did the work. He took the crown of thorns. He took the torment so that we don't have to. If we're struggling with any kind of mental affliction and things like that, he took that for us. If we're dealing with physical affliction, he took that for us. He did all the work. Every single bit of it, he did. The only thing we need to do is believe it. That's our choice. That's our choice. Do we believe what he's done? Will we, you know, the other thing is, will we let him do it for us? You know, it's kind of like Daniel Kalenda talked about when he was here about how when they put together the first cake mixes,
yeah.
Right? And all you had to do was add water.
Yeah.
And people weren't buying them. So they had to switch it so that you needed to add eggs and milk and something else. And then people were like, oh, okay, well, now I do it. Why? Because they had to feel like they had some investment to be able to say, I made this cake. Like they had to be saying more than I just poured water in it, right? So, and it's the same thing. A lot of times with our lives, we want to be able to say we did something. We did something. So are we willing to really receive a free gift knowing that the free gift comes from an unseen realm, right? It's an unseen realm, so it's nothing that our senses can glory in and say, I worked this out. It's just an inheritance that we've been given. It's unseen, so the revelation knowledge, we walk in that, knowing the character and nature and faithfulness and the ability of the one who gave it all to us, that he was well able to give us, to take away from us all that which was afflicting us and give us everything that would give us life. And are we willing to let it be that simple? Are we willing to let it be that simple? We keep looking for the eggs that we need to add and the milk and the water and the mixer and all that other stuff. When it's that simple, it's like, here's the cake and you get to eat it too. Right? He did it all for us. He did it all for us. And lastly, Philippians 1:6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So he even promises, he gives us his faith, and he promises us that as we continue to walk this journey with him, that he brings us into the fullness of all of this inheritance. And that's where our faith is in. See, we have to understand the full picture of what Christ has done for us. Because, like I said, if you try to inherit pieces of it without knowing the whole, you'll never be able to hold on to the piece. You have been completely remade. You are completely new. You live in a completely different kingdom. You live in a kingdom where there is no lack. So it's not based on our bank account. It's not based now, are we supposed to work? Yes. We're supposed to work. Paul says, if you don't work, you don't eat. So we're supposed to work. But he's the power. He's the one who gives you the power to get wealth. He's the one to give you the wisdom on how to manage your business. You know, it's not sitting next to the phone waiting for it to ring, right? I mean, it's just like Andrew Womack, when he had the gospel, and he was promoting it, and the Lord told him to go on the radio, and Andrew was like, Lord, I shouldn't have to go on the radio. He's like, you'll just bring people to me, and the Lord said, if they heard me that well, I wouldn't need them to send them to you. Right? If they were hearing God that well that they could know to go find Andrew Womack, he wouldn't need to be sending them to Andrew. So he had to go on the radio so that people could hear him, hear of him, right? So it's not that we just sit thinking that God's going to do everything. He will do everything, but he'll give us wisdom on how to do things. You know, it's kind of thinking like you're going to build your muscles by sitting on the couch. Like, that's not going to happen. Right? Your muscles are going to build when you exercise. You know what I'm saying? You can't eat junk and think that you're going to be healthy. Like, there's wisdom in all of this. God will lead you to eat a healthy diet. God will lead you to do exercise. My daughter's got me in the gym every day now. But but he'll lead you to those things because he's wisdom. He knows you have a physical body. He knows what your physical body requires. Right? So it's the rest that he brings us into is a rest of our relationship with him, knowing he's taken care of all of it, and then we just follow his guidance. We follow what he tells us to do, and he will lead us into the fullness of all that he has, and he will complete that which he has begun in us. These are the promises of God. This is the land flowing with milk and honey. This is what Abraham believed God for. This is why Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees.
Yeah.
This began with Abraham just hearing God and God saying, leave Ur of the Chaldees, leave your family. That was the beginning of this whole process that we now walk in. And we are now the children of Abraham. And the people, the things that other people died seeing in the future and not having inherited, we've inherited.
That's right.
We've inherited because of their faithfulness.
That's right.
So what are we going to do? They were willing to die for the belief. We're being called to live for the belief. They died knowing they weren't going to see it. He's asking us, will we live knowing that we already have it? They're looking in at us from heaven going, my gosh, look what you have. Look what you have. You can live every day without sickness and disease. You can live every day in prosperity. And why? Because the world should be looking at a population of people that are so incredibly blessed. They're like, man, I need to know your God. You know, I mean, is it for us? Absolutely it's for us because he loves us. But we are supposed to be the walking advertisement of what it's like to have a daddy God. Amen? So that it's all for his glory. It's all for his glory. He gets all the glory out of this because we did nothing except for trust in him and believe in him and inherit what Jesus paid for. And because now we are the most blessed, privileged children on this planet, and everybody should be looking at our lives going, I want that. Even when we're going through difficult times, because it doesn't mean that there aren't difficult times, but it means when we walk through them differently because we have a Father who we know is taking care of us and who will provide for us. So it's not like, oh, come to my life because there's never any kind of tribulation. There is tribulation, but we walk through it so differently than the world is because we're assured of who he is. Why? Because he promised, and he is not a man that he can lie, nor the Son of Man that he can repent. He can't tell an untruth. He can't tell you that you are completely healthy and lie about it. It's not possible for him. If he tells you you're healthy, it's because you are. Now, like I said 2 weeks ago, that has to become real to you. Because a lot of people say, oh, okay, well, then I'm going to stop my medication. No, 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 no. Because you can know that here and not know it here. Until he speaks it to you, until it becomes your reality, it hasn't had the power. You know what I'm saying? The power hasn't clicked. You have to shake hands with the Holy Ghost on these things, right? And we're going to talk about that next week, about how do we renew our minds and how do we take these promises and make them living in our lives. We'll talk about that next week. But what I wanted to do today was just really lay the foundation of what are the promises of God? What are the spiritual blessings we have? And I know it's nothing that probably most of you haven't heard before, but this is the foundation. It's the fact that there's two kinds of knowledge. We don't live by sense knowledge, we live by revelation knowledge. We have a Father that is good and faithful, and we can trust on Him, and He is more than able to do things in the most impossible of circumstances. And we build on top of that the fact that He has brought us out of darkness into light. We've been brought into a brand new kingdom, and everything we have is in that kingdom that we now reside in as new creations. And so we're not trying to get pieces. You got the whole enchilada. it's like a Happy Meal Deluxe or whatever. It's all included. There's everything in it. It's Prego. Everything is in it, right? We're not getting pieces. We're just taking advantage of the fullness of what God did for us at the cross. Amen? So, Lord, I just thank You so much for Your presence here today, Lord. Oh, Lord, just may You be glorified in all of this, Lord. We just want to live lives that glorify You, and the way we glorify You is to walk in the fullness of everything You died for. So, Lord, we just thank You so much that we can walk in authority, we can walk in provision, we can walk in peace, we can walk in health, we can walk in all of that, Lord, because You provided that for us at the cross. So thank You so much, Lord. I just seal this message in each one of our hearts. Reveal it to us in greater ways. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand. It's the Holy Spirit, as You walk through this with us in leading us into the fullness of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.